All right, well, so good evening. Let's begin. So I wanted to do a piece, and I was conflicted about whether to do a piece on Tisha B'Av or a piece on the Parsha, but I think we're going to focus a little bit on the Parsha tonight, because this is a beautiful, really, really beautiful piece by Rabbi Nachman that I think will help to frame a little bit of the experience for the Bein HaMetzarim, for the 9 days, and for Tisha B'Av. So remember, again, Chumash Devarim goes ahead and... What's wrong? So Chumash Devarim begins in a fascinating way, because Moshe Rabbeinu goes ahead and goes through all of the different places that Klal Yisrael traveled to throughout their sojourn in the desert. So throughout 40 years, and Rashi HaKadosh points out an incredible chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, that over a protracted period of time we traveled around. We'll bring in more chairs, don't worry. So we've traveled a relatively small number of places over the course of the years. Now, Rashi HaKadosh is bothered by the following yisod, which is that when one looks at the names of the places, there are places mentioned in this parasha, there are places mentioned that don't seem to be the name of actual places that Klal Yisrael stayed and visited. It's plenty of room. You don't mind if I open it. So... All right, so they were looking at the names of the places, that there are places here that Klal Yisrael, again, that we don't recognize the names of these places. So which leads Rashi to understand that many of the places are actually veiled references to chatam, to mistakes that Klal Yisrael committed over their time of Israel. For example, Rashi, one of the places Moshe Rabbeinu mentions is Dizahav. So Rashi Kaddish comments, I looked in my biblical map, and there's no such place that's called Dizahav. So what's Dizahav? Dizahav refers to the Cheta Egel, the sin of the golden calf. And you have a couple of different examples of this, where the names of the places are not actual geographic locations, but rather, again, they're descriptive of events. They're descriptive of events that occurred within these places. So the Rebbe... Oh, thank you, Israel. So the Rebbe says something quite beautiful over here. Supposedly, let's take a look on the sheet. If you take a look over here on paragraph A in your sheet. So you see over here, Eila Hadar, thank you. Thank you very much. Eila Hadar, thank you. Still have to repair Daf Yomi. So it's... thank you. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehyeh Bedvaro. So take a look at paragraph A. Eila Hadvarim Asher Diber Moshe. So the Rebbe is bothered by the basic yisod, which is, why does the Torah have to spend so much time talking about all of the places? So again, the Rebbe quotes, Alkein, Hiskir Kalam... let's take a step back for just a moment. One of the most dramatic things to look at in the Torah is what pieces of information the Ribono Shel Olam includes and what pieces of information he omits. And it's a very strange pattern often. Sometimes, say, for example, so Baruch Hashem, we're privileged to put on tefillin every day. So how do you know that tefillin have to be black? How do you know that tefillin have to be square? How do you know that tefillin have arba parshios? You won't find that anywhere in the Torah. That's where Torah Shabbat Peh. All the Torah says is I have to put these signs on my arms, signs on my head, and that's all the Torah tells me. So yet, something we do every single day, there's virtually no information included in Torah Shabbat. But yet, other things that seem to be so random and obscure, the Torah goes into such great detail to discuss them. So for example, again, you want to tell me about the names of places that Klal Yisrael traveled through for 40 years in the desert, close to 3,000 years ago. These places don't exist, these places won't again exist, and yet, again, we spend so much time going ahead and discussing them. So what's the pshat? What's the pshat? Meaning, what's the message? So the Rebbe says, paragraph A, Akin hiskir kalamakomo sheikh yisulafonov, kalamakomos daiko, ki bazeh hiskir lahem chus vachased. Supposed to listen to this. So first the Rebbe sounds like he's saying like what Rashi says. Namely, that's what? That Moshe Rabbeinu discusses all of the names of the places in order to go ahead and highlight the fact that we committed averos in these particular places. But then the Rebbe goes on and he says, it's not just to remind Klal Yisrael. I don't know, Kish at a menshir. I don't know, is this posh? It's not so... I don't know what's going on over here. Yeah, that's mamish. So again, so what happened... So the Rebbe says something amazing. He said, in addition, there's another yesod here as well, which is why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and mentions all of these places? Ki bazeh hiskel lahem zechus v'chased. In this, by mentioning the places, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu brings up the zechus of Klal Yisrael and the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki ukiyem, listen to this, al todin es chavercha, we'll say this pshat is going to blow you away. So the Rebbe says, you know, there's a concept in Pirkei Avos of Al Tadin Es Chavercha Ad Shetagiel Komo. Don't judge your friend. Don't you? So beautiful. Oh, thank you. So sweet. Right. So make sure to thank Shoshi for us. So don't judge your friend until you go ahead and you reach his place. It's very important. So Al Tadin Es Chavercha Ad Shetagiel Komo. And I both say Mekomo is a very important yisod. What does it mean? Don't judge your friend until you get to his place, Makomo. So we'll say, what does Makomo refer to? It could be his house. Could be, the truth is, you never know what goes on in somebody's home. That's true. What else? His situation, right? His matzav, his circumstances. Makomo means everything. Makomo means the place where I came from. Makomo means the house that I grew up in. Makomo means... No, I'm good. Thank you. Makomo means the place where I live. Makomo means all of my circumstances. So what Chazal are essentially saying is, when you see someone do something, often there's a rush to judgment because I think I've sized up the situation, right? I know exactly what's going on. I've sized up the entire situation. To which the Mishnah Abba says, no, you haven't. No, you haven't. Because the truth is, Abosai, and I think this is something we begin to learn as we get older. You know, when we're young, we think we know everything and we know everyone, right? I meet someone, I could size that guy up in just a moment. And as we get older, we recognize, what? I'm talking about myself now, you're all young. Right? But as we get older, we recognize that people are incredibly complex. And that the truth is, often what you see at first glance is often not the reality. And what you see in the beginning, often again, really is, you see only you, you know, we spoke with this a few weeks ago in Shul, about, you know, Matova Ohalecha Yaakov, you can't understand that person by looking in their window. You have to get the full totality of the individual. So the Rebbe says something amazing, that when Moshe Rabbeinu recounts these places, what he's fulfilling ultimately is he's saying, Klal Yisrael, I want you to understand, I'm going ahead, and I'm giving you muster for the mistakes you made, but I want to be clear on one thing. I'm not judging you. I'm giving you muster for the mistakes you made, but I'm not judging you. Why? Because I, Moshe Rabbeinu, have no right to judge you. Why do I, Moshe Rabbeinu, have no right to judge you? Listen to this. Ki hu zocha le'echos b'kisei ha'kavod, b'chinas me'acheis p'nei kisei, sha'al yedezeh, ha'yeh b'b'chinas mekomo shel olam. Because says the Rebbe, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, I often feel Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't know, for some reason, Moshe Rabbeinu, his life makes me very sad. And, again, he was the Navi, obviously, and the Avanavim, the prophet of all prophets. And Lamaisa, no one compared to Moshe Rabbeinu, but he had a very difficult life. He had to give up everything. He had to give up his marriage. He had to give up his family. He had to give up all the trappings of normal life, right? His children disappear into obscurity because of Pashas. They didn't have a father around. He gave up everything for Klal Yisrael. The fact that he doesn't go into Eretz Yisrael. But there's one thing about Moshe Rabbeinu, which is Moshe Rabbeinu was Kodesh Kadoshim. No one could compare, no one could even relate to the Kiddusha Moshe. That's why I remember again, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with the Luchos, when he comes down from Har Sinai, so the Torah relates that the Karan Or, that ultimately the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was on Moshe Rabbeinu's face. And it was so intense that the people could not look at him. So Moshe Rabbeinu begins to wear a masveh, like literally a veil, and he moves his domicile outside a little bit of the camp. He was so holy, but to a certain degree, that holiness also made him muvdal. It made him separate and distinct from the people. So Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Rebbe, was ma'achez p'nei kisei. Moshe Rabbeinu literally lived the life of holding on to the throne of the Ribono Shel Olam. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was like. Moshe, you have to understand, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, what's your mailing address? And it's, you know, P.O. Box, Celestial Sphere, whatever it is. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't live in this world. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't of this world. Moshe Rabbeinu was more malach than man. He lived his life holding on to the kisei HaKavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, Va'al Kein, Yada shekol elu hamakomo sheikh isu bohem lifnei hamakom baruchu hu hamakomos ba'atzman garmu lehem lachto. So listen to what the Rebbe says. Says the Rebbe, when Moshe Rabbeinu is giving this musar to Klal Yisrael, about everything that they've done wrong. See, sometimes the dangerous part when we give Musr sometimes to others is that the idea of Musr, remember, why do you give Musr? Why do you give Musr to someone? Right? Because you love them. Because you love them, you want them to be better. You recognize the good in them, the beauty in them. You want to enable them to transcend and to grow beyond themselves. That's the goal of Musr. The problem is sometimes Musr transforms into judgment. So let's say again, I see someone going and doing something wrong. So this is a mitzvah. Hochiach tochiach. I'm supposed to rebuke my friend so that he does the right thing. Now, how to do that mitzvah? Who should do that mitzvah? That's a separate shir. But the idea over there is not to judge him. The idea over there is not to say, you shagits, you know, what are you doing? How can you... The goal is not to judge. The goal is to give beautiful, loving instruction and feedback so that a person realizes someone else believes in me. I can and do and should be better. So says Rabbi Nachman something amazing. Everyone thinks that Moshe Rabbeinu was laying into Klal Yisrael. He's going through all of the averos. He's being mochiach them and he's judging them. Says Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm not judging you. And I want to tell you I'm not judging you. I'm not judging you because I know the Mishnah of Avos, Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Mishnah of Avos says, Al todin es chavercha ad shetagia limkomo. I don't know your life. I don't know your makom. I don't know your place. Because the truth is, I spent more of my time holding on to the Kisei HaKavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than living in this world with all of you. And therefore, here's what I think, says Moshe Rabbeinu. I think I'm going to list all the names of places in which you committed mistakes, not as a form of judgment, but recognizing, Ki amakomos ba'atzman garmu lahem lachto. I think Klal Yisrael, to a very large degree, you are a victim of circumstance. That a lot of the things that happen because you were spent all of this time in the desert. Ki avru b'midbar makom nachash saraf va'akra v'tzima on paragraph B. She makom tokef haklipos v'hasitra achra ki adua. You had to spend so much time in the desert. You know, I will say, the desert in general is considered to be a place that is mufka, that is separate and distinct from spirituality. It's generally how it's understood that a midbar, you know, when you want to describe a place that has no ruchnius, you call it what? You call it a midbar, okay. Which is a midbar, which happens to be in the midbar. Oh, right? So the yisod over here is Moshe is telling Klal Yisrael, I get it. It's not because you're bad. You're a wonderful, special, beautiful, holy people. But you know what? It was the makom that was goring. If you spent all of this time in the midbar when you should have been in Eretz Yisrael, you spent all of those years in Mitzrayim, and all of that took a dramatic toll on you. Ki yadua v'hayu tzrichim milchom im haklipos kashos v'atzum oshay b'mkomos eilu. And you constantly had to fight and contend against all of the klipos. We spoke about klipos a number of times. The klipa represents a shell that obscures holiness. There's kedusha everywhere, but rather it's up to us to remove. But often kedusha is obscured by layers that prevent it from being seen. Our job in this world is to remove the klipos. You were in the desert. There are so many klipos. Shem koma keilu v'zegaram lahem shakama pamim lo yachlu la'amod b'nisayon v'nichshelu k'nichshelu. So says Moshe Rabbeinu Klal Yisrael, I'm going to be melamed tzchus. I'm going to go ahead and give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to find an excuse for you. The reason you sin was not because you don't care. The reason you sin is not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't love you. The reason you sin is because Lavan, Chatziros, Dizahav, you have to go to all of these places. You had to spend all of this time ultimately in Golos. You had to spend all of this time in Golos. You had to spend all of this time wandering around, and Golos is full of tumult, and Golos is full of difficulty, and Golos is full of adversity, and of course you tried to remain strong as much as you could, but at some point in time the Golos overtook you, and the Golos eroded your ruchnios. And he goes on, he says, V'nichshum fan, k'mo sh'am rabosin uza'a al-pasak, v'yishe v'yishe v'shitim, sh'amokom garam lahem lachto, k'mo sh'kasa b'zara ha-kadosh. Nimsa. So the first thing I will say, Rabbi Nachman says, is something absolutely amazing. Do you know why Moshe Rabbeinu lists the name of all of the places? Because the Maisi was trying to be Malamid Tzchus for Klal Yisrael. He was trying to come up with a merit for Klal Yisrael. He wasn't trying to judge them. Because remember again, Moshe Rabbeinu won't judge. He won't judge Klal Yisrael. Which by the way, just as an interesting... Well, he won't judge Klal Yisrael. Why won't he judge Klal Yisrael? Why not? because al tadin es chavercha achata yelim komo, because I can't relate to your life circumstances, says Moshe Rabbeinu. I can't relate to your circumstances. I live my life, as the Rebbe said, being ochis, holding on to the celestial throne. I live a ruchni life. I can't relate to your challenges. I can't relate to your urges. I can't relate to your desires and wants. Therefore, how could I possibly go ahead and judge you? Which also, by the way, al derech hadrush might also be the pshat. You know that in Parshas Yisro, right? Yisro comes to Moshe Rabbeinu. And what's the first thing that Yisro sees? What's the first thing he sees? He sees Klal Yisrael is lined up the whole day to adjudicate their cases with Moshe Rabbeinu. So Yisro gives Moshe Rabbeinu the whole idea. Go ahead, go ahead and appoint all of the judges. What's the obvious kasha? What's the obvious kasha?
Why did Moshe,
like, this is not rocket science. Right, Moshe, you think you're going to judge 3.5 million people? Set up a court system. What's the pshat? Well, see, maybe the shot is like this. Moshe Rabbeinu says, the Rebbe says, who am I to judge? Who am I to sit in judgment of these people? I see their nisyonos. I see their challenges. I, Moshe Rabbeinu, I have my own set of nisyonos. But my nisyonos, my challenges are so dramatically different because I live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I dwell with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I hold on to the Kisei HaKavod. How could I possibly stand in judgment of them when I am not in the same makom? So maybe that's the pshat. Maybe that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, he resisted, consciously, subconsciously, ever creating a judicial system for Klal Yisrael because he felt unworthy to stand in judgment of the Klal. Why? Because you can't judge someone until achetagielim komo. And if I don't understand your circumstances, I can't pass judgment. That's number one. Number two, says the Rebbe, by stating each of the places, not only was Moshe Rabbeinu not judging, he was being malamid tzchus. He was trying to find a schus, a benefit for Klal Yisrael. I understand why you sinned. Because you had to spend all of this time in the desert, all the place with the klipos, all the place with the tumah, all of the place with the various different things that you had to contend against. I understand why you sinned. And therefore, again, I also understand that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu could just get you into Klal Yisrael, to Eretz Yisrael already, so many of these problems would be solved. Paragraph, look at the last two lines. V'chein sovei b'holeh kol sefer dvarim, al kotev zeh, lahaskir, turn the page, lahaskir es Yisrael, kol ma shehich isu lefanach. V'af apike, lo yisyaishu atzma min arachim gavra. We'll say that Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to teach them another lesson. What's the other lesson? The other lesson is that no matter what you do and how much you do, the Ribono Shel Olam's wellspring of chesed never runs dry. Never go ahead and think that you've fallen out of favor with God. Never think for a moment that chesed, the Ribono Shel Olam, has thrown in the towel on you. Because look, and Rashi quotes this idea also, because Klal Yisrael, look at the crazy stuff you've done over the last years. Look at the crazy, crazy stuff. You complained by the Red Sea. You complained by Mara about the water. You complained about the Mun. You built the golden calf. You sentenced by... So we'll say any one of these things by themselves should be a deal breaker for our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Yet, none of them were. Yes, there are repercussions. Yes, there's an onesh. But Lamaisa, the relationship still goes on. Ki rachamov lo kalim kasher ra'u beinehem. Sha'afapi sha'asu es ha'egel. Afapi kein lo mona rachamom behem. What should we try and say? You see, the Ribono Shel Olam's rachamim is boundless. His compassion is without end. V'chein achar sharach hatoim, heitin imayim b'chasdo, ad she muchanim ato lichnos le'Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, despite all of the things that we did wrong, the Ribono Shel Olam was ready to bring us into Eretz Yisrael. Alkin yedu l'doros. Therefore, says Moshe Rabbeinu, now you have to listen to Rabbeinu saying, Chumash Devarim, you know, the Eben Ezra, the Radak, both bring down at the beginning of Sefer Devarim, that the entire point of Sefer Devarim was to recreate like a Sinaitic revelation experience, a revelational experience for the new generation. Remember, most of the people who are standing around now, Me'eva Liyad, ready to go into Eretz Yisrael, many of them were not by Har Sinai. Because remember, the entire generation from 20 years old and up had already died out. This is the last month of our sojourn in the desert. We're getting ready to go in. Moshe Rabbeinu has to try to instill with them, within them, all of the theological tenets that were instilled within the Klal at Har Sinai. These people never had that experience. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu tell them? I want you to understand that no matter what you do, forgiveness is always possible. No matter what you do, the Ribono Shel Olam loves you. No matter what you do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim will always be there. Because look at just what's unfolded over the last 40 years. Ridiculous, crazy stuff. Yet, we're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. What does that tell you? It tells you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim, his compassion is boundless. Therefore, al yisya'ashu atzma min rachamim. Therefore, again, never go ahead. Never give up hope. Never give up hope in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim.
As a nation, not as an individual.
I'm sorry? He's talking to a nation. He's talking as a klal.
Individual.
Correct, talking as a klal. Although, I think it makes the argument for an individual also. There's
got
no.
Punished.
I'm sorry?
They got punished every Tisha B'Av.
Punishment doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachmanis is not there. Punishment often is a cause and effect. So there was a cause, there was a chait, there's an effect. But sometimes we think that punishment means the end of the relationship. It's not true. Punishment is not the end. Punishment is a chelik of the relationship. So therefore, never despair of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim. He goes on, Al-Kain, Yeidu Ledoros, paragraph E, Shebechom HaShiyavor Aleim Ad Bias Mashiach Bechlal, Ubiprat, Akol Echad Ve'echad, Ye'ech Shiyyeh, Li'olam Al Yisya'ashu Atma Min Rachamim. So the Rebbe says that Moshe was trying to tell them, look, Klal Yisrael, it's going to be a rough journey ahead. You know, I'll say the truth is, it's never smooth sailing. It's never. There were periods of time, Tamash Talmah HaMelech, the Gemara says. So it was smooth sailing. But otherwise, there's no smooth sailing. It's always a bumpy road. It's always a bumpy road. And during that bumpy road, what's most important is never despair on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always exhibit compassion. Kimo Shara B'Sin Luzal, Afilu Cherev Chad Munachas Al Tzavaro Sha'odam Al Yimones Atzal Min HaRachamim, as the Imam Masechet Brachos says, that Chizkiyahu HaMelech said to Yeshayahu HaNevi'ah, he was on his deathbed, and Yeshayahu said, Chizkiyahu, you're going to die. And Chizkiyahu said, listen, I have a Masorah from my father's home, from the home of David HaMelech, that even if there's a sharp sword resting against your neck, never give up on divine compassion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do anything at any time, and he could always perform some type of Yeshua. He says, Va'amru yafet tzak ala adam bein kodem gzardin, bein la'achar gzardin. Person is supposed to daven for compassion from HaKadosh Baruch Hu before the decree, after the decree. Paragraph F. V'zesh esiper tfilosof ich hispalo v'ischan lefnei Hashem yisparach. Alright, we'll leave that to the side. So we'll say, the Rebbe says something absolute. Actually, let's finish it. He says, furthermore, which we'll learn later on and say for Dvarim, that Moshe Rabbeinu davened so intensely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was for what purpose? Hakol kedei lohoros b'nei Yisrael sheyischazku b'tfila utza'aka l'Hashem Yisbaruch tamid ki rachamav einam kolam li'olam. The idea is, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I want you to see, whenever you're in trouble, no matter how dire the circumstances are, always daven, because you never know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu could go ahead and pull off for the individual and for the class. So if you bring this all together, it turns out that the opening chilek, the opening section of Chumash Devarim, teaches us some incredibly profound yisodos. Number one, Rabbi Hussein, we have to be careful the way we judge other people. You know, whether we like to admit it or not, you know, people like to say they're not judgmental. Anyone who says they're not judgmental is lying. Everybody's judgmental. Right? We'll say we see someone, and by definition, just based on the way they dress, based on the way they talk, based on the way they present themselves, we've already come to our judgments. So to say not to be judgmental is nice, but I don't know if it's so poshut. To say not to remain rooted in your judgment of another, that's probably a more attainable goal. Even if I jump to those conclusions, I then have to take a step back and say, what? I don't know this person. I'm seeing a glimpse of them. I'm seeing a behavior. I'm seeing a few minutes. I don't know their life. I would say, we know this ourselves, that sometimes people judge us in certain ways, and they pass harsh judgment on us. And we feel like telling them, you don't know me. You know, you don't know who I am. Maybe you don't like what I did, but you also understand that my actions are a composite of a whole bunch of life experiences. Where do we learn this lesson from, says the Rebbe? We learn it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu refuses to judge the people. He says, I'm giving you instruction, I'm giving you feedback, but please understand I'm not judging you, because I can't judge you. Why can't I judge you? Because Lamaisa, I've never been Magil and Komcha. I've never come to you. I've never stood where you stood. And therefore I can't stand in judgment of you. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two, Rebbe says Moshe Rabbeinu, he recognizes, says to Klal Yisrael, the limud schus, the way Moshe Rabbeinu advances a schus, a benefit for Klal Yisrael, learns a merit is how Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not them, it's the galus. It's the galus. They spent 40 years in the desert. There's Kiddusha there, but it's so hard to find. It's obscured by so many klipos. The Baruch Hashem understand that it was the makom that was gorim. It was the place that caused them to sin. Not the people who are chas v'shalom, impure or tarnished. And lastly, Moshe Rabbeinu says to us, the lesson is, never give up hope on the Ribono Shel Olam. even when things look bleak, even when things look dire, the Ribono Shel Olam has a boundless reservoir of compassion. V'haraya, says Moshe, you know, the proof to that is, look, you're all here today. Despite everything that happened over the last 40 years, you are still here today. The Ribono Shel Olam has dramatic compassion. Not, yes, we say V'racham Avakoma, so God's compassion is on all His creations, and Klal Yisrael has unique access to that reservoir of compassion, to that reservoir of divine kindness. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, never give up, even in the face of the most adverse circumstances. Never yield, never believe that you're beyond hope. Doesn't always mean that you get what you want, but the job of the Jew is to be the eternal optimist. The job of the Jew is always to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could swoop down at any moment and change the circumstances. The job of the Jew is to always believe in the Rachmanos of the Ribono Shel Olam. I will say, I just want to end with one point which I think is an incredible, important yesod. You know, part of the dynamic on Tisha B'Av is we advance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with this lesson of Moshe. So Ribono Shel Olam, we know that sometimes when you look at us, we're less than perfect. We know that sometimes when you look at us, that we're not living up to your expectations. And the truth is, if we're honest with ourselves, often when I look at myself, I'm not happy because I know I'm not living up to my own expectations, let alone HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectations. But you say, Ribono Shel Olam, you understand that it's the galus. It's the galus. We've been living without a Beis HaMikdash. We've been living without Mashiach for over 2,000 years. So if our ancestors lost their grip on their Kedusha from 40 years in the desert, then what can you possibly expect from us after 2,000 years in the desert? But in the same breath, we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but look, despite being in the desert 2,000 years, despite spending all this time in Lavan, Chatzeros, Dizahav, all these same places that Klal Yisrael frequented, we still observe your Torah. We still listen to your mitzvos. We still do chesed. We still learn Rabbi Nachman on Erev Shabbos on Thursday nights together. Ribono Shel Olam, that's pretty good for being 2,000 years in the desert. It's pretty good the way we do chesed, the way we do mitzvos after all of these years in the Galus. But Ribono Shel Olam, let's all admit the fact that the Galus has taken a significant toll on us. It's taken a toll on us. It's taken a toll on you. Bring Mashiach, ultimately, just like you brought Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, bring us into Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbah said, this is part of our tefillos on Tisha B'Av. You know, Tisha B'Av is not a day of tchina, it's not a day of supplication. We don't really ask for things on Tisha B'Av. That's why, again, we don't say Avinu Malkeinu, because it's a petitional prayer, right? Avinu Malkeinu is a request. We don't do that on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a day of avelos. But at the same time, at least in our personal tefillos, what we need to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it sounds a little bit chutzpahdik at first, but sometimes Jews, we're not known for being timid people. Sometimes you have to have a little bit of proper chutzpah. Say, Ribono Shel Olam, look, you've got to own part of this dynamic also. I'm trying my best, but I'm living in the desert. And I don't mean Baltimore, I mean Golos, I mean the state of Golos. I'm living in the desert, and if only I could have Mashiach, I promise you that I could accomplish so much more. So we should be Zochem Yeretz Hashem. We're saying the Zuchus of not judging each other, because this is one of the most important Yisodos Ben Adam L'Chavero. The Zuchus of not judging each other, either hastily or ever, understanding that I never really understand the dynamics of the other, I never understand the life of the other. And the Zuchus ultimately of recognizing that we have to constantly ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help and assistance, and never stop, even when circumstances look dire. And that's the Chus HaKadosh Baruch Hu should finally see fit, to listen to the Tzvilos of Moshe Rabbeinu, to realize David Sarein, Ribono Shel Olam, has been 2,000 years in the Midbar. Bring us home. Bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. Bring Mashiach. We should be Zochem Yeretz Yisrael. You know, there's still time. Let me say, there's still time. It's only Erev Shabbos Chazon. Tisha B'Av doesn't begin until Matzei Shabbos. Universes could change between now and then. But they only change if we really desire it. They only change if we really desire to get out of the desert. They only change if we really desire to be more. So we should be Zochem Yeretz Hashem to internalize the words of the Rebbe, internalize the words of Moshe. And we should be Zochem Yeretz Hashem. We'll say that halavai, that by the time this Matzei Shabbos of Tisha B'Av comes, that we should be Zochem Yeretz Hashem, that Eliyahu HaNavi has already come, and he's already told us, don't spend the day mourning, and don't spend the day crying, but spend the day packing, because Mashiach has come, Geula has come, that Bayis Shlishi is already slowly descending from Shaman. Halavai, we should be zochet to be reunited with Moshe Rabbeinu. She's zochet to be reunited with our ancestors, and we should be zochet, Meretz Hashem, to stand together with them, Me'ever LeYarden, on the other side of the Jordan, and be zochet to cross over into Eretz Yisrael.